I thought of making this presentation, as I mentioned, because, one, because it's very nice. Another is because just some days ago was the appearance day of Radha Kund. And some devotees that I know weren't able to go because we were in meetings. So I thought I wanted to go this way. Not physically, but through sound vibration. And for all of you who have been or in the future will go or will again go to Vrindavan, one of the places that is an absolute must to visit is Govardhan Hill. And when you do Govardhan Parikrama, you'll pass right along the side of Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. It's just part of the Parikrama path. And if you go along the Parikrama path, you won't necessarily, especially if you've done the whole Parikrama, you definitely won't because you'll be exhausted. You won't go to all the places at Radha Kund and Shyama Kund, the places of the temples and places of Krishna's pastime. So this is a special dedicated visit to Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. Radha Kund and Shyama Kund are at one end, the far north end of Govardhan Hill. There's a verse, often quoted verse, in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam where the gopis are appreciating that Govardhan Hill is the best of Krishna's devotees. If you were asked the question, who's the best of Krishna's devotees? You might not say Govardhan Hill. You might say Arjuna, the dearmost friend of Krishna. You might say Balaram. You might say Srimati Radharani. But the gopis say Govardhan Hill is the best. And they give the reasons why. And the reasons why is because Govardhan Hill serves Krishna in so many ways simultaneously. First of all, Krishna's occupation, his daily, everyday duty was herding cows. And every day, the coward boys would bring the cows to Govardhan Hill. And at the time of Krishna's pastimes, Govardhan Hill was much bigger, miles tall. But Govardhan has been diminishing in size over the years. And there's a reason why. There's two reasons why. Does anybody know what one of those reasons why might be? Palastya Muni's curse. Do you know about that? It's related to how Govardhan appeared in Vrindavan. It's a pastime because Govardhan is always connected with Krishna. So the description goes like this. Long, long ago, Palastya Muni, who had his ashram in the south of India, was making a pilgrimage to the north of India. And he went all the way into the Himalayas. And amongst the hills, something like 'Vishvamitra Muni, who was asking Dasarath to have his... No, that's different. A brahmana who came to visit Ekachakra. Yeah. A brahmana who came to Ekachakra and asked the father of Lord Nityananda for his son to travel with him in the course of all of his journey. Anyway, Palashyamuni requested the father of Govardhan Hill to have this mountain accompany him. And because the sage had asked, there couldn't be denial, and Govardhan said, I'll come on one condition. And the condition is, I'll travel with you, but when you put me down, that's it. I'm not going to move anyplace else. So Palashyamuni said, that's very reasonable. You come with me. So there's no mountains like you in south of India. It'll make my ashram perfect. So Palashyamuni had a mystic power, something like Hanuman's mystic power. One of Hanuman's mystic powers. He could fly in the air carrying a big heavy mountain. Big heavy weight. So as Hanuman could do, Palashyamuni could do. So he was carrying Govardhan from the north of India, heading for the south of India, and as fate would have it, he had to answer the call of nature. Mid-air. Hanuman didn't have that problem. Our children don't know what that means, but their parents will inform them what that means. He had to go visit the men's room. And so he descended and just happened to be over Vrindavan and did his business and came back and went to lift Govardhan Hill, and Govardhan wouldn't move. And he tried and he tried all of his mystic powers, and Govardhan wouldn't move. And then Govardhan said, I told you I would travel with you until you set me down. You've set me down here, so I'm not going anywhere. And Palashyamuni said, I can understand your trick. You know, just as I know, that soon Krishna is going to come and make his appearance here and perform his pastimes here. In this very yuga cycle, Krishna will come. And you just wanted to be here, and you've used me to bring you here. All right, so you've tricked me, but I curse you that you will diminish the size of one mustard seed every day. And so although Govardhan Hill was miles tall, it's been diminishing and diminishing and diminishing every day that passes by the curse of Palashyamuni. But the residents of Vrindavan say, although the scripture has that idea, the Vrijvasi's idea is that Govardhan is shrinking out of separation from Krishna, because Govardhan just wants to serve. And in Krishna's absence, that feeling of separation from Krishna, being unable to directly serve him, is causing Govardhan Hill to shrink. But in so many ways, Govardhan Hill would provide service. Because the hill of Govardhan was so tall, then fresh water and streams would come flowing down the side of Govardhan Hill so that the cows could graze. And Govardhan was providing fresh grass for the cows for their grazing. Govardhan was supplying minerals that were needed in ordinary household life for painting and other mixing to make various ingredients. Govardhan Hill, the verse in the Bhagavatam says, provided flat rocks for Krishna and his loving associates to sit upon as they're performing their transcendental pastimes. Govardhan provides very nice caves for getting cool in hot summer, or staying away from the rain in the rainy season, or getting warm in the winter season. And Radha and Krishna would perform pastimes in these caves of Vrindavan. Plentiful trees filled with fruits and flowers of all seasons, and very sweet and pleasing atmosphere created always by Govardhan Hill for the pastimes of Krishna. So the gopis claim, Haridasa Varya. Govardhan is the best of all devotees. And those of you that are familiar with Nectar of Instruction or Upadesha Amrita, here's Rupa Goswami's description of why amongst all places not only Govardhan is the greatest, but specifically Radhakund is the greatest. I'll read. The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathura Puri is the transcendental forest of Vrindavan because of Krishna's Rasalila pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, for it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was the site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent Radha Kund stands supreme, for it is overflooded with the ambrosial nectarine prema of the Lord of Gokula, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radha Kunda, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? So here's the hierarchy mentioned from Vaikuntha to Mathura to Vrindavan, Govardhan Hill, and Radha Kund, with the specific features of each making it transcendentally superior to the previous one. So Radha Kund, in the determination of Rupa Goswami, text 9, Nectar of Instruction, is the most special, spiritually elevated place anywhere in the spiritual, the material creation. That's what we're going to be visiting through pictures and sound. Here's another verse. Among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Her kund, or lake, is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as this most beloved of the gopis. Who then will not reside at Radha Kund and in a spiritual body surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings, a prakrita bhava, render loving service to the divine couple Sri Sri Radha Govinda, who perform their Ashtakaliya Lila, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes? Indeed, those who execute devotional service on the banks of Radha Kund are the most fortunate people in the universe. So what are we doing here? Let's go. But it's not that simple. Just go. Because you have to be qualified. And the next set of slides are going to show what those qualifications are. Our devotional service now is to help qualify us through purification, gradual elevation, refinement of finer qualities, so that we can be eligible to be in such a sacred, holy place and not make offenses and get ourselves tossed out, falling down to some lower species in the animal kingdom or lower. But even that is elevated. You'll see in the course of the yatra, visit Prakrama of Radha Kund. Another verse, of the many objects of favored delight and of all the lovable damsels of Vrajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love, and in every respect her divine kund is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radha Kund is very rarely attained, even by great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees like us to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused, or at least the potency is there, if our receptivity is sufficient. So I'm not going to cover this because of time, but in this middle chart, there's Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda Thakur describing who is eligible to reside at Radhakund, why is Radhakund so elevated, who is eligible to reside there, and how can one take benefit of visit to Radhakund, bathing as many times as possible, render devotional service, residing there, serving under the serving maids, and so forth. And the result is very, very special. Pure love for Krishna awakens. The love of the gopis, potentially, can awaken within one's heart from that very, very special residence. This is text 11 of Nectar of Instruction and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta's commentary on that verse. So there's an aerial picture, Google picture of Govardhan Hill. You should know that it's at an angle like this because it fits on the page better, but actually it's almost directly north and south, this direction being north and this direction down here being south. And you see Govardhan Hill is very long and narrow. And right here, towards the middle, is Govardhan City. And it's described that Govardhan Hill is shaped like a peacock. Before they had Google aerial photos, they described Govardhan Hill that way. This being the tail of the peacock, like a peacock on a branch of a tree, like this road here. Standing on the, perched on the branch of a tree, there's the tail of the peacock hanging down, the main body of the peacock in the middle, the long neck of the peacock in the head, the eyes and the beak of the peacock up top. So commonly when doing Govardhan Parikrama, one will start either, it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, right around here, where there is Manasi Ganga, that's where Lord Chaitanya began his parikrama, and it's written in Chaitanya Charitamrita that one commonly begins in this area, or the devotee, because there's some bus parking areas, there's some roads that come in, up in the northern area where Radhakund, Shyamakund are. And then you walk along, just like you circumambulate Tulsi, with Tulsi to your right side, correct? Or you circumambulate the deities to the right side. So you circumambulate Govardhan going in this direction. With Govardhan to your right side, go down the southernmost tip of the tail of Govardhan and up and up and up and up until you come back around and you're exhausted, your feet are hurting, and you're back up at the top. And you turn around and come back down to where the buses are. So that's the common path. And there's Radhakund and Shyamakund directly. With this being the road area, and there's Radhakund, and there is Shyamakund. And those are all rooftops all around. It was actually to be constructed in a rectangular position, but if you see right here and right here and then some places over here, there were, when Raghunath Das Goswami was excavating Govardhan, excuse me, Radhakund and Shyamakund, he was residing there. Let's go back. Raghunath Das Goswami was the son of the Majumdar family. Prabhupada said so many times, like, one of the wealthiest families in all of India at the time, like the son of the Birlas or something like that. But he had no interest in wealth, and he had interest in devotion. And he came into the association of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, and he accepted completely the life of dedication to Lord Chaitanya. With much difficulty, he eventually got Lord Chaitanya's association. He stayed in the care of Sarup Damodar in Jagannath Puri for the whole duration of Lord Chaitanya's stay in Puri. When Lord Chaitanya left this world, Raghunath Das went to Vrindavan and made his residence by the side of Radhakund and Shyamakund. And he was such an elevated Vaishnav that one time a very wealthy merchant offered fabulous donation to Raghunath Das Goswami, who said, I don't have a need for anything. I'm fully satisfied. But if you want, you can do some service. You can create, you can dig a full formal kund for Radhakund and Shyamakund. So under Raghunath Das Goswami's direction, which was also with the permission and direction of Rupa Goswami, Radhakund and Shyamakund were excavated. They have a system in Vrindavan that every some number of years, 12 years or something like that, they completely empty out the water of Radhakund, Shyamakund, and take all the mud and sediment that's settled at the bottom and clean it, and then take that water that they pumped out and pump it back in again. So it goes down many, many steps, down and down and down and down. It's very, very deep, Radhakund and Shyamakund. So the plan was to make it square. But as they were digging and excavating, Raghunath Das Goswami, who was seated by the side of the excavation, was spoken to, either in a dream or was spoken to when he was awake, by the Pandavas, who were trees on the side of Radhakund and Shyamakund, and said, please don't cut us down. We come here just so we can have darshan of the sacred kund of Radhakund and Shyamakund. Please leave us. Two of those trees are still there. The other three trees are gone. When you go there, you ask the devotees who are taking you, which is Arjuna and which is Bhima tree. They're still there. So therefore, the shape of Shyamakund is irregular, but the shape of Radhakund is square like this, as you see. And by the side of Radhakund and Shyamakund, when it doesn't look like it looks now, but it looked more like what it looks here, Radha and Krishna daily would perform wonderful loving pastimes together. And sometimes in meeting, sometimes their feelings of separation for one another, even as you see in this picture, they're by each other's side, but they're knowing that it's soon they're going to have to separate, and the pain of separation was unbearable. Just anticipating. So here's how the Parikrama path commonly goes. It comes like this, and you go along this way and exit this way, like this, out to the bus stand. But we're going to go this way, just so that you get a little orientation. And from the bus stand, which is somewhere over in this area, we're going to make our first stop right here at the temple of Gokulananda of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur appeared around the time of Jagannath Das Babaji, or resided in Vrindavan around that time, a little before him. And he came at a time when so many generations had passed since the time of the six Goswamis that practically a lot of what they had done had been lost. The association, the teachings, the life of Lord Chaitanya's practice of bhakti had practically gone. But he was such a powerful acharya that by his residing in Vrindavan town, everything came back up again. Powerful, powerful, powerful acharya. And in the course of his residing in a very remote place in Vrindavan town, this is the deities that he also worshipped, he also had an ashram near Radhakund and Shyamakund and kept deities there, Radha Gokulananda. But this is the Gokulananda deity that he worshipped when he was in Vrindavan town, and there's a wonderful story behind this deity. There was a Brahmin who lived some distance from Vrindavan, and in his dream, that Brahmin, who loved his deity very much, had a dream in which the deity appeared and said, I want to be worshipped by a sadhu who lives in Vrindavan. His name is Vishwanath. When you wake up in the morning, take me there. I want to be worshipped by him. So the Brahmin was in ecstasy that his deity was speaking to him and giving him this direct service, but also he was very sad because he was very attached to his deity. But he was the servant of the deity, whatever the deity desired. So he went and asked around, do you know of a sadhu living here named Vishwanath? And everybody knew, and they took him to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur declined. He said, I don't have the qualification to worship Krishna. And besides, I'm a sadhu. I don't have anything to offer to the deity. I don't have a place. I just live by Madhukari. I can't worship a deity like that. I have to say no. And so, very troubled, the pujari went home. But that night, the pujari had a dream, and the deity said, go back again, and he'll say yes this time. Because the deity then appeared in Vishwanath's dream and said, I want to be worshipped by you. So he came back, and Vishwanath worshipped Gokulananda. There's a Gokulananda temple in Vrindavan. Maybe some of you have been there, if you've taken yatras there. Very small deity, but very, very sweet and very personal. Recognize the sweet shops of Vrindavan. Common scene, very humble Vaishnav there, serving the public with all of his wares. And the purpose of these sweets is not just for ourselves, the pilgrims, but for offering to the deities, because there's so many deities. And you'll see places where many, many sweets are offered before the deities at Radhakund. The next stopping place is Kundeshwara Mahadev. And I remember the first time I saw a Lord Shiva linga at Radhakund, and I was wondering, what, this is Radhakund? I can understand this at other places, but why at Radhakund? Why are people worshipping Lord Shiva at Radhakund? And the answer is, he's the protector of the Kund. He prevents unqualified people from entering and gives entrance for qualified people. So it's common that one, and it's tradition, that one comes before Mahadev and offers prayers to gain permission and have successful pilgrimage of Radha Kund. Here's a close-up of the Mahadev deity. Very similar to the Gopeshwara Mahadev near the Rasasthali place in Vrindavan town. Just as Lord Shiva, who very much wanted to take part in Krishna's Rasalila, he was not allowed to enter the Rasalila because to enter Rasalila you have to be in a female form. So here you see he is dressed in a sari, in a very attractive female form. And Krishna gave him this service of guarding the rasa dance. See the nagas around the gopi's neck. This is Lord Shiva in a gopi form who is assisting Krishna in the rasa dance, and without her permission one cannot enter. And this is the Yogamaya Diti just at the front of the Gopeshwar Mahadev temple that you also pray to before going to the Rasastali place. And those two places that we saw were right here. And now this is the first glimpse of Radha Kund. And depending upon the time of year that you go there, you may see vegetable vendors like this, or you may see about 5,000 devotees, pilgrims instead. No vegetable vendors because the place is so crowded. During Kartik time, that's what you'll see. Thousands and thousands and thousands of pilgrims coming to take darshan of Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. To describe properly Radha Kund, one of the steps necessary is to describe the appearance of Radha Kund. As I mentioned just some number of days ago in the Vaishnava calendar, the Ashtami day, the beginning part of Kartik month is the, or just prior to Kartik month, excuse me, is the appearance of Radha Kund. And it's connected with the killing of the Arishtasura demon. So one of the demons that Kamsa sent to kill Krishna was Arishtasura. And Arishtasura wasn't just a bull and just wild, but he was huge, with huge horns and a huge body. And when he was moving down the road swiftly, the whole earth would shake. And when the gopis saw Arishtasura coming down the road, running ferociously, looking for Krishna, they immediately grabbed a hold of the nearest tamal tree, because that tamal tree is blackish in color. And they were grabbing a hold of the tamal tree like they were grabbing a hold of Krishna, calling out, "Krishna, please help us, protect us. This terrible bull is running our way." And the cowherd boys, they weren't afraid. When they saw this Arishtasura, they just said, "Hey, Krishna, please take care of this guy. Looks like he's come for some purpose and he's looking right at you and he wants to do you some harm, but we know that you'll take care of him." So, as Arishtasura was charging at Krishna, Krishna very adeptly moved out of the way and took the bull by his horns and knocked him to the ground with his foot. Little 7-year-old boy. And then Krishna began beating him and thrashing him, the Bhagavatam says, like a wet cloth, just tossing him to the ground and bang and bang. And finally Krishna broke his horns off and started bashing him with his own horns until Arishtasura was dead. And the cowherd boy said, "Yay, Arishtasura is dead. Let's go have lunch." So the cowherd boys went to have lunch. And that was around 11 o'clock. And after lunch, the cowherd boys were very tired. So Krishna then went, as he would regularly go, to the side of Govardhan Hill. And he went to approach the gopis because he went alone. Balaram and the cowherd boys stayed behind in their resting lila, and Krishna went alone. But when Krishna approached the gopis, they said, "We've heard that you just killed a bull. And you know, that's very sinful, to kill a bull or a cow. Very, very sinful. So don't come near us until you've atoned for this terrible sin." And Krishna said, "It wasn't a bull, it was a demon. He just took the shape of a bull." And they said, "Well, whatever it was, you killed a bull. You've got to atone for this terrible sin." So Krishna said, "All right. What atonement would your judgment would be appropriate for this?" And they said, "It's such a sinful thing. You have to bathe in all the sacred rivers of the entire universe. Otherwise, don't come near Srimati Radharani. Don't you dare." So Krishna said, "All right." And with the heel of his left foot, not even his right foot, his left foot, he started stomping in the earth on the other side, in the Shamukund side, and made very quickly a big depression in the earth. And then, because he's the Lord of all creation, he summoned all the sacred waters of the entire universe, and they all assembled before Krishna with their folded palms personified, saying, "Some service. You have some service for us. What is it?" He said, "You see that depression over there? Fill that up with all of your sacred waters." Very quickly, in a matter of moments, the kund was filled, and Krishna took his sacred bath and came before Srimati Radharani and said, "Now I fulfilled this demand. But I want to say that actually, although I took this sacred bath, it is you and your gopi friends who have made a big offense. Because actually it was a demon and it was protecting the gopis, prayed to me to protect them from this demon because he was giving such difficulty. For this reason, he was put to death. And it was just a demon in disguise of a bull. So you've made a big offense. Now you have to atone." And Radharani smiled. "What atonement would you like me to make?" "Same one. You bathe in all the sacred rivers of all the universe." Radharani smiled, and she turned to her gopi friends and said, "Let's dig a kund." So they took their bangles, and with their bangles, hundreds and hundreds of gopis very quickly made a deep depression in the earth. So Krishna said, "That was very good, but how are you going to get the sacred waters to fill?" He said, "If you don't have another idea, I can make a little canal between my kund and your kund, and the water can fill up your kund." And Radharani said, "No way. You've deposited all your sinful reactions in that kund. I'm not letting that water mix with my kund." Krishna smiled and said, "They'll fill up your kund too. They're still here." So they filled up Radharani's kund. Radharani and all the gopis deposited their ecstatic love for Krishna in Radha Kund. And for this reason, Radha Kund is so exalted and is considered non-different than Radharani, because the essence of Radharani is her love for Krishna and the topmost level. And therefore, Rupa Goswami and all of our great acharyas subsequently, and Lord Chaitanya himself, considered Radha Kund non-different than Srimati Radharani. And so that's the appearance pastime of Radha Kund. And when you go there today, you won't see what Radharani saw exactly. You'll see what you see here. But there are those that have the eyes to see differently than we can see. we'll visit the place where Janava Mata saw Radhakund in a way that we don't see. And at this place, Radhakund and Shyamakund, every day, Radha and Krishna would come and enjoy wonderful, loving pastimes together. Sometimes in the rainy season, as you see here, the water rises so high that the Radhakund and Shyamakund are indistinguishable. That's that walkway area between the two kunds, where here it is where they're practically swimming. And these shrines in the middle, they mark places where Radha and Krishna would sit together and enjoy their loving pastimes in between Radhakund and Shyamakund. So very, very sacred place. This is an artist's depiction of what Radhakund and Shyamakund may have looked like, with the peacocks and blooming trees and creepers of many colors and fragrances enhancing the very wonderful loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. This is the place where Janava would sit, Janava Stali, and another one of the perimeter walls of Radhakund. So now we're going to go a little bit further along. This is where we were looking over Radhakund. Now, right here is what you see here is now this cement structure, but before there was a cement structure, maybe about 10 years ago, maybe even less than 10 years ago, there was a huge banyan tree that was living from the time of Krishna's time. And from the branches of the banyan tree, Radha and Krishna would perform their swing pastimes. Something like 10 years ago, the tree fell, and they placed this other structure. And what happens besides the vegetable market, people get there underneath and sell their wares. But during Julan Yatra, the deities from the temple come and are placed on the swing, and they have the swing pastimes, just as Radha and Krishna would perform underneath this banyan tree by the side of Radhakund and Shyamakund. And there's so many wonderful depictions, artist renderings of this pastime. There's Radhakund and Shyamakund in the background, and the gopis assisting in this leela. Now, over here, you see a bridge, yes? When you go to Radhakund and Shyamakund, you won't see a bridge. But Mother Janava, when she sat at Radhakund and Shyamakund, she saw a bridge. She reported that she would sit and chant her japa underneath a tree, that little extending space there, and had a little bhajan kutir area. And she came back one day and described that she saw Radha and Krishna walking across the bridge along Radhakund, and they were enjoying their loving pastimes together. That is to say, there's another dimension in Vrindavan. There's Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described, when we go to the sacred places of pilgrimage, we may not see the spiritual dimension. We may see, like oil on the surface of water, we may see the oil. But beneath the oil, there's the water. So Janava and other very qualified Vaishnavas were able to see the spiritual pastimes of Radha and Krishna being enacted. If one has that spiritual qualification, Krishna will disclose, if he so desires, his pastimes. And this swing pastime is one of his favorite pastimes at Radhakund and Shyamakund. The next place we're going to visit, see this road, takes us to a temple of Radha Krishna deity. There's the entrance to the temple, and there's the deity in the temple. And notice down at the bottom here, there's all those sweets from all those sweet shops where people bought and made offerings to the deities. Here's a close-up of the deity of Radha Krishna. And these were deities that were worshipped by Raghunath Das Goswami. When Raghunath Das Goswami was living at Radhakund and he had engaged workers to excavate, as they were digging and digging and digging and digging down and down and down, and they found the deities deep down in the earth, in the mud. And they presented the deities to Raghunath Das Goswami, who immediately paid his obeisances to the deities and personally made an arrangement for a temple for them and personally worshipped them. So these are the deities, personal deities, of Raghunath Das Goswami. And then going back to the Radhakund, down to the corner, and down this alley right at the corner, there's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's residence. From time to time, particularly during the Kartik month, and sometimes for the whole of the Chaturmasya, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established a little temple where he would come and stay. Radha Kunja Bihari Temple. That's what the temple looks like from the outside. That's what the deities look like from the inside. And here's a close-up of the deities. Bhaktisiddhanta was a connoisseur of fine deity dressing and the appearances of deities. Obviously, this is winter time. They're dressed in their nice woolen sweaters, but still ornamented and decorated very nicely. This is the standard of Bhaktisiddhanta, and similarly followed by Srila Prabhupada. And continuing along that same going out further path, a little bit further away from Radhakund, is this very unassuming place. Looks like a pool of not very nice water. But many of the places in Radhakund, and many of the places in Vrindavan for that matter, look something like this when the Goswamis came. This is Malyahari Kund. Malyahari Kund. And a very wonderful pastime performed by Radha and Krishna was enacted here. And the pastime was personally described by Raghunath Das Goswami. Now, when you think of Raghunath Das Goswami, you don't think of him as the literary member of the Goswamis. He was the renounced member of the Goswamis. Renunciation personified. But he also wrote a few books. And Mukta Charita was one of his books, and it describes this pastime. And I'm going to narrate the pastime, and we're going to end with this pastime. So listen carefully. It's very, very nice. The book begins in Dwarka. And it begins with Satyabhama asking Krishna, "I heard when you were living in Vrindavan that you grew a garden of pearls. Is that true? Did you grow a garden of pearls?" And Krishna just smiled, thinking of Vrindavan. And Satyabhama was enchanted by Krishna's smile and said, "You did. You grew a garden of pearls. Can you describe that pastime of yours?" So Krishna proceeded to describe to Satyabhama the pastime. When he was very young, he went one time to visit the gopis. And he saw that the gopis were stringing pearls on thread to make necklaces. And she's just seeing the pearls being strung on threads to make necklaces. Krishna thought of his cows. And he thought, how nice it would be to decorate my cows with necklaces of pearls. So he approached Srimati Radharani and said, Radharani, would you give some pearls so I can decorate my cows with pearl necklaces? And Lalita stood in between Krishna and Radharani, put her hands on her hips, as you see here, and said, your cows are too good for our pearls. You'll have to look for some other pearls besides ours. Haughty. Krishna said, just give me some. Just my two favorite cows, Harini and... Who's the other one? Forget the other cow. Just two. And they said, we can't give you any of our pearls. You'll have to find some somewhere else. So Krishna went home. And he looked very sad. And Mother Jasoda asked, Krishna, why are you so sad? He said, I want to make pearl necklaces for Nanda Maharaja's cows. And there's only one way I can think to get pearls, and that's to grow a pearl garden. And Mother Jasoda said, Krishna, you don't understand. Pearls don't come from the ground. They come in a different way. Said Krishna said, no, I know it's a fact. I go with Nanda Maharaj, and he takes his thumb and presses the seed into the ground and covers up the soil, and he grows so many things. Mother Jasoda, can I have some pearls to grow a pearl garden? Mother Jasoda has such love for Krishna, she would do anything for Krishna. So she said, here, you take some pearls, and you can make a pearl garden. All right? So Krishna was very happy. And he planted in nice rows all of the pearls so he could have a nice pearl garden. And then he thought, even better than watering the pearls, let me get some milk. And I'll put milk on the garden. So he went to the gopis and asked the gopis for some milk for his pearl garden. And they just laughed and laughed. And they laughed at Krishna. So Krishna went to Mother Jasoda looking very sad. He said, Mother Jasoda, the gopis, they laughed at me. I just want some milk to water my pearl garden. So Mother Jasoda has such love for Krishna. She gave Krishna all the milk he wanted. And you know what? Within just a short time, a matter of less than a week, little shoots started coming up out of the ground. And Krishna went to tell the gopis, my pearl garden is growing. And the gopis said, pearls don't come from the ground. We want to go see. And they looked at the little shoots coming out of the ground. And they laughed at Krishna and said, those aren't pearls. Those are thorn trees. And they laughed and laughed and they left. And Krishna said, you'll see, they're not thorn trees. These are pearl trees. And within a matter of weeks, the pearl trees grew and grew and produced very large and beautiful pearls, hundreds and thousands of pearls. And Krishna gathered all the pearls from his pearl tree. And he went to show them to the gopis. Just see all my pearls. You wouldn't give me any, but now I have all these pearls. And they said, we're not going to be upstaged by Krishna. We'll make a garden, a pearl garden that's four times better than Krishna's pearls. We know just the place too, just by the side of the river Jamuna. There's lots of water. And besides, we'll not just water with Jamuna water, we'll also water with milk and curd and yogurt. We'll have a better garden than Krishna. They took all the pearls that they had, and they even went into the storerooms of their mothers and got some more pearls to put in their pearl garden, to have a better garden than Krishna's. Krishna was passing by one day. He saw the little shoots coming up. And Krishna said, "Those aren't pearl trees, those are thorn trees." And the gopi said, "No, no, they're pearl trees, you'll see." Some weeks passed, and sure enough, it was thorn trees. And then the gopis were in big trouble because they had taken pearls from the storerooms of their mothers. Meanwhile, Krishna made pearl necklaces for all of Nanda Maharaj's cows. And he had more pearls, so he made for all the lambs and all the sheep. And even all the monkeys of Vrindavan were walking around with pearl necklaces from Krishna's pearl garden. So the gopis said, "We've made a big offense against Krishna. We just ridiculed him twice. And now he has all these pearls. What are we going to do to get our pearls back? Otherwise, we're in big trouble with our parents." So they sent their best negotiator. And I forget what her name, the two girls pictured here with golden containers, little chests of gold and golden ornaments and golden coins, and she was supposed to negotiate a good price for some of Krishna's pearls. And practically the biggest volume of Raghunath Das Goswami's book is the negotiating program between the gopis and the cowherd boys. Sridham was negotiating on behalf of Krishna and Madhu Mangal, and they couldn't come to terms. Krishna said, "You see these pearls? See how big they are. And not only they're big, they're effulgent. They give off light. And not only that, they're fragrant." "Who has seen pearls like this? While all the treasure chest of all the gold you had wouldn't be worth even one of them." "I'm sorry, no deal." In the Vaishya community, that means something. That was very serious. The gopis started to go away, and very sad, and Krishna said, "All right, I'll give Radharani one pearl." And he reached into the volume of pearls and found a broken one and gave that to her. Some time passed, and the gopis were desperate. Radharani was in great anxiety, and Krishna thought, "All right, I'll just give her a pearl necklace." So he began personally stringing a necklace of pearls for Srimati Radharani. And then he became inspired. "This necklace belongs in a golden box carved with Radharani's name on the top." And he finished doing that, and he was so pleased with himself. He said, "Let me make one for each of the gopis." So he made a huge number of pearl necklaces, each put in a golden box, each with the name of the gopi on top of the golden box. And there you see Krishna's distributing the pearl necklaces with the names of the gopis on the top of each of the golden box for Radharani. There you see the monkeys with their pearl necklaces, the cow with his pearl necklaces, and Krishna's, there's their pile of boxes for each of the gopis with their pearl necklaces, all from Krishna's pearl garden. And the gopis were so pleased that Radharani was now out of anxiety, they decided, "Let us feed all the cowherd boys a nice big feast." So they made a big feast to honor Radha and Krishna, and this wonderful pastime of Malya Harikund, of Krishna making pearl necklaces for Radharani and all the gopis, and they enjoyed their pastimes very happily together in this way. Such an unassuming place. Remember the picture you saw of that Malya Harikund doesn't exactly look like this one. But beneath the surface of the external appearance of things in Vrindavan, there is the transcendental lila of Radha and Krishna. When we go to Radhakund, we don't see a bridge over Radhakund. But Janava saw. When we go to Malya Harikund, we won't see this pastime, pearl pastime of Radha and Krishna. But Raghunath Das Goswami saw. And he depicted in detail. It's not some poetic, fanciful, imaginary pastime. It's how the Goswamis and the qualified souls realized and described and revealed to us the pastimes of Krishna through their unalloyed, offenseless chanting of the holy name. We should practice our chanting in that same way. Not just so we can see Radha and Krishna's pastimes. That's at their will, if they wish to show us their pastimes. But to honor Krishna when we're chanting his holy name, that we're actually with Krishna. And as Krishna so desires, he will engage us in some service to him. When you go to Vrindavan, please go to Govardhan Hill. And when you go to Govardhan Hill, you may visit some of these places. There's not time to do the rest of the parikrama. We've done 1/4 of what this whole slideshow represents. And next time I visit, I can take you the next day to the places of Krishna's pastimes at Radhakund and Shyamakund. Very, very transcendental place. Be sure to go with somebody that's a guide. There are pandas there that will harass you to pieces and make your visit very unpleasant. So go with somebody that knows what they're doing. And they can describe these nice pastimes when you go there. Shishi Radha Kund Shama Kund Ki
Jai.
Shishi Vrindavan Dham Ki
Jai.
Gaur Premanandi Nivo.